Joining us to talk about it, Scott Petrak of the Chronicle Telegram. Browns, a 22-17 win over the Buccaneers yesterday. Special day yesterday for the special teams. We were dogging on them earlier in the year, but they came through yesterday with quite a bit of this. It's been a while since we get blocked punts, blocked kicks in the same game. That's kind of a unique occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. You know, both plays proved really pivotal. You know, the first one took 3 points off the board for Tampa and then led to a field goal for the Browns, and then that blocked punt, you know, 2 plays later was the game-winning touchdown. So the special teams, like you said, have kind of taken a lot of grief this year. They've had their struggles, but yesterday they played a huge role in the game.
Scott, what kind of grade might you give the offense and defense yesterday?
You know, offensively, I'd probably go B-. You know, Brian Hoyer threw for 300 yards, but they had 2 turnovers. One of them wasn't his fault. The running game is still struggling after starting so strong for 5 games. It's been 3 weeks in a row where they've really struggled. Like yesterday, they averaged 1.8 a carry, and that's not going to be enough. They did score the touchdown in the fourth quarter that they needed, so you got to give them credit for that. And then defensively, I think if I go B, you know, if you keep a team to 17 points, you're going to win a lot of games in this league. And, you know, maybe that should be the goal for this team. They said, okay, if we keep the opponent to 17 points, we're going to win a bunch of games. And I think that's probably true of Thursday night's game in Cincinnati, that if they could do that in Cincinnati, I think there's a good chance the Browns can win. So, you know, the defense got better in the second half against the run. It was really a stark improvement. They allowed, I think, 80 yards to Bobby Rainey in the first half and only 7 in the second half. They got another 2 turnovers, which gives them 8 for the last 3 games. So if the defense continues to turn the ball over and get better against the run, then this team's going to be in a lot of games.
You mentioned the Bengals, and everybody in the North is kind of – it's good. We're in a good position, I guess, where everybody is kind of real close. No one's pulled away yet. How important or is this Thursday night game, and how well can we recover from such a quick turnaround?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the AFC North, all 4 teams are above 500, the only division in the league. You know, I kind of expected the division maybe to take a step back this year. I wasn't sure there's a dominant team, and I'm not sure there is a dominant team now, but it looks like there's 4 quality teams, which, you know, what that does is it makes the division play that much more important. So the Browns are 1-2. You know, they have the losses to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and then they beat Pittsburgh. So they really can't afford to go 1-3. I think if you want to win the division, and maybe there's going to be a tie at the end of the season, although the tie that Cincinnati had could throw that out of whack. But let's say 2 teams finish 10-6. Well, then the first tiebreaker's head-to-head, and after that is division record. So, you know, if the Browns could get to 4-2 in the division, which would mean that they sweep Cincinnati and then win at the end against Baltimore. You know, if you told me that right now, I'd say they're going to win the division. If they go to 3-3, then, you know, maybe they're right in the mix with everybody else. So this game is crucial. You know, the Browns have not played a game this meaningful since this late in the season, since 2007. National TV, prime time. It's huge. And, you know, it is a quick turnaround, but it's also a quick turnaround for Cincinnati. So both teams will be banged up. Both teams will do their best to recover. They're not going to practice hard all week. And it does help that there's, you know, a sense of they know each other, right? The Browns, they play each other twice a year, so the preparation shouldn't be as hard. But, you know, it's tough for that quick turnaround no matter who you are.
Scott, are you surprised, like I am, just how well Ben Roethlisberger has played the past 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, the numbers are crazy. I mean, he's never been the kind of guy that puts up those huge numbers, even when he won those 2 Super Bowls. He was, in the first Super Bowl, he barely threw the ball that season. They threw the ball like 15 times a game and ran the ball and played great defense. And as he's progressed, he's become a guy who can have huge games. But those are 2 huge back-to-back games. It's funny, you know, you can rank your quarterbacks, and on a week-to-week basis it would change, but I think you probably have 4 elite quarterbacks, the Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and then you have a second tier of almost elite, And I think you probably have to put Big Ben right at the top of that one.
We're talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read him in the Chronicle-Telegram as well at chronicle.com. Browns a 22-17 win over the Buccaneers. Taylor Gabriel getting his first touchdown pass. Interesting how with all these rookies, and there's a lot of these firsts that are happening to some of these players. We're already, you know, this far into the season, and you're thinking somebody must have already gotten the touchdown. But obviously for them, they're, as much as we were watching the season, it's also interesting career moments for all these players too.
Oh, sure. And the thing about Taylor Gabriel is he's an undrafted rookie. I think he was an invite to training camp. I don't even think they signed it, or to the rookie minicamp. You know, some guys get paid right after the draft, even if you haven't drafted them. I think they just invited Taylor Gabriel. He shows up. He has about 3 days to impress the Browns. He does. He gets signed for, you know, little money, but gets to hang around and come to training camp. And he kind of just keeps making plays in training camp. You know, the Browns had some veterans that didn't pan out. Anthony Armstrong, Nate Burleson was hurt a lot, and everybody thought he might be a starter, and he gets cut. And they keep a guy like Taylor Gabriel, and he just continues to make some plays. You know, he made a play early in the season where he made a deep catch and fell down, you know, and it wound up costing him. But it was a big catch. He took a hitch yesterday, you know, behind the line of scrimmage and picked up 20-some yards. He's just making a bunch of plays. On the other hand, you know, people talk about Brian Hoyer and his inconsistency. You have to remember that he's thrown to a bunch of receivers that are about 5'7 out there. So, you know, the window is pretty tiny when you're thrown to those guys, but he was able to find it on that long touchdown, and obviously that's the key play of the game.
And, of course, when the Browns are playing Thursday night on national television, what kind of storylines do you imagine the network's going to start looking at, and what do you think they're going to use for the – I guess the Browns side of the discussion.
Yeah, you know what? I think you got to start with Brian Hoyer. I really do. And, of course, that'll mean a little bit of Johnny Manziel. But Johnny hasn't played in 5 weeks. You know, I don't think he's close to playing. If the Browns are still in playoff contention, then I think Brian Hoyer's your starting quarterback, you know, given that he's healthy. So I think you'll see a lot of Brian Hoyer. I think you'll see video of the torn ACL he suffered last year when he played on Thursday night against Buffalo, and he referenced that yesterday. Said his luck hasn't been that good on Thursday nights. But I think it starts with Brian Hoyer, and then just kind of the resurrection of Cleveland. You know, you probably get some LeBron James highlights and quotes. And you know, the fact that the Browns are 5-3, it's been 2007 since they've been 5-3 at the midpoint. So I think that's where it's going to start.
The Browns wore their brown tops, white pants. Are they done wearing the white on white? Did they kind of put that on the back burner? I might have heard something a long time ago about it. Are we going to see those at all, those uniforms?
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure they've worn them this year, the white on white. You know what happened? Well, at home, I think they like going dark. Okay. They like going dark shirts. But if the home team gets to pick what jerseys they wear. So say Cincinnati goes with their dark jerseys, then the Browns are going to go white tops. So, you know, at home, I think they've gone to the dark tops, as long as it's not going to be 90 degrees out. But on the road, you could still see them in all white.
Right. Because even when the Browns wear a throwback jersey, we don't have anything crazy like what Pittsburgh did a couple of
weeks. It looked like bumblebees out there.
Well, that's
those are awful.
They always wear those something. Those look like those are the uniforms that should be relegated to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and kind of stay there as well. But again, it's a Thursday night. What do they do over these next couple of days? I know Coach Patton basically says we kind of have a short chance to sort of enjoy this, and then we kind of get back to work. Is everything just kind of scoped down to a shorter time period?
Well, you really cram everything. Like today, the players would come in early, watch some film, and then they might even go through a walkthrough on a normal Monday, and then they're free to go. Today, they're told to sleep in later, but then they have to come in. There's meetings. I think they'll probably be on the field. It's just walking stuff through. They're probably lining up like Cincinnati's defense just so they can get a visual on the field. You try to stay off your feet as much as possible. A lot of this week is about body maintenance. How do we recover physically so we're able to go Thursday? Because Brian Hoyer said last week that sometimes he doesn't feel back to 100% until Friday. So you got to accelerate that. So yesterday after the game, he usually meets with the media right away. Instead, he went in the cold tub to try to take care of some of that bruising and free, you know, kind of slow down the bruising process and speed up the healing process. So then Tuesday is normally an off day, but that'll be like their only one full day in the building. They'll watch a bunch of film. They'll do a bunch of game plan meetings. I mean, they'll start installing the game plan today as opposed to Wednesday. Tuesday will be a full day with a light practice. And then Wednesday, which the day before the game is usually a really light day, I think will be another day where they meet and have practices. And then they get, you know, then they fly down to Cincinnati. So you just try to cram everything into really 2.5 days. And even Thursday, you know, Thursday on a normal game day, you're not doing any preparation. Well, this week, I bet they're still going over the game plan. They'll probably have a walkthrough Thursday morning in the ballroom in the Cincinnati Hotel just because they don't have enough time to do anything else.
Now, anybody who was out of the game or who was injured or, you know, this gives less time for them to recover, do we expect anybody who kind of missed this past Sunday to be ready on Thursday?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. You know, Phil Taylor, the defensive lineman, probably won't be back this week. If the game were Sunday, he might have a chance. Jordan Cameron, the tight end with the concussion, they haven't ruled him out yet. But, you know, if you're missing 3 extra days, the odds of him playing are less. You know, he was back in the locker room Friday, so that's a good sign. But you may not want to rush him. Now, the good thing is that once you get through Thursday, then you get 10 or 11 days, and you should get Phil Taylor back. You probably should get Jordan Cameron back if he doesn't play Thursday. You give guys more time to recover. But they did dodge a bullet. The rookie cornerback, Justin Gilbert, everybody thought he had concussion in the fourth quarter there on that last Tampa Bay drive, but it turns out he didn't. So you'd expect him to be able to go Thursday, where if he had suffered a concussion yesterday, there's no way he'd be able to go Thursday.
What's the Josh Gordon timeline? Where are we standing on that?
Well, you know what? Time flies. He's got 2 more games on the sideline, then he's back. So the Browns, even if they lose the next 2 games, will be no worse than 5-5 when they get their best offensive weapon back. So that's one thing to look forward to. And if they can somehow go 6-4, 7-3, and then you get your best weapon back, I mean, people talk about the running game and what's changed, and obviously the loss of Alex Mack has been huge to the running game. But not having Josh Gordon allows defenses to put 8 and 9 guys in the box because there's no threat of a receiver beating you one-on-one over the top. Well, Josh Gordon changes that, and even if he's rusty coming back, defenses cannot afford to leave him one-on-one with no safety help, because then Brian Hoyer just throw the ball up all day long to him, and eventually Josh is going to make a play or two for a long play for a touchdown. So I think he's really going to help this offense when he gets back, and they only have to go 2 more games without him.
And again, the Browns back in action Thursday night. It's the national televised game with the Bengals. And then, as Coach Pettine said, it's sort of like a mini-bye because they don't play Sunday and they don't play again until the 16th against the Texans. So there is a little bit of recuperation that they get to do after the Bengals game, but it should be a big thing. Is the jungle still the jungle down there? I mean, is it still as intimidating as it once was?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. You know, they've had a hard time selling tickets down there. I'm sure Thursday night will be a sellout. You know, the Bengals are doing well. They're in first place. But, I mean, that stadium gets loud. But, it's, you know, when I think of all the stadiums I've been to, and I think I've been to every one but Seattle, that's not one of those where you go, oh, my gosh, it's crazy intimidating. At least I haven't noticed it to this point.
Right. And there's usually half as many Browns fans as Bengals fans, depending on how the ticket sales are going.
Yeah, I mean, and there should be a Browns presence down there, I'm sure. You know, whoever's team is doing well, I think you'll hear from them.
Sounds great. Scott Petrick at the Chronicle-Telegram. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.